Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you've missed any of my talk radio breakfast show, don't worry. We've put some of the punchiest bits of this morning's show into a bite-sized podcast, the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. Enjoy.
Talk Radio Breakfast with Julia Hartley Brewer. At breakfast on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. This is Talk Radio Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Delighted to welcome my next guest to the show, Work and Pension Secretary Therese Coffey. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. Well, I suppose the first question I have to ask you is what everyone is wondering right now after Keir Starmer called for a 2 or 3 week circuit breaker lockdown yesterday. Is Boris Johnson going to do it?
Well, what Labour are proposing with national lockdown will close businesses in areas with extremely low transmission rates. It's only last night that Parliament voted for the approach of having national framework of the three tiers and local tougher measures where they are needed, where we're seeing escalating infection rates. I think that's the right way forward.
Would you support a kind of so-called circuit breaker? Would you support that if it was put forward as government policy?
Well, I think that we have this policy now where we're taking significant interventions in certain parts of the area. But meanwhile, in other parts of the country where there's quite low infection rates, you know, people are adhering to the national measures, keeping with the hands, face, space approach. And it's important that they continue to enjoy the freedoms while we take active interventions to save lives and livelihoods.
The trouble is we have seen the government sort of veering from policy to policy and not giving any policy enough time to work. So we had the rule of six, then we had the 10 p.m. curfew brought in only a short time later. And then now again, you know, much shorter time, we end up with these different tier approaches with even tougher restrictions at tier two and tier three. Even if there were the so-called circuit breaker, we are in a situation where that would come in force if it was over half term before any of these new measures would have time to work ever. Are we in any way at all in this country following scientific advice anymore?
Absolutely. Scientific advice continues to be an important part of what advice is given to the Prime Minister, by the CMO, the CSA. Of course, there are other illnesses that people are enduring and suffering. So it's a balancing act in that regard. And what we've done with this approach is to have social restriction in order to make sure that people can continue to go to school, go to work, go to hospital, and indeed, particularly in tier one areas, people can go to care homes and see their elderly and loved ones. Now, I think what's important to say is that the British public were asking us to have a simpler approach. That's why we have all the national measures of what's in tier one. And therefore, also then we wanted to make sure we had a more straightforward way of applying interventions in our tier two. And sadly, Liverpool City region, the rates are escalating so quickly that we've gone into the tier three. But that's only a baseline of interventions, Julia, and more could be done if the mayor wanted to discuss that with the government.
Okay, but we know that, and actually, although cases are going up and infection rates are going up, hospitalizations are going up and death rates are going up, although at very, very, very different rates from each other, they are in most parts of the country, including some of those in the highest tier, they are going up at a slower rate. We are not seeing anything like the exponential rate that we were told. 21st of September, Sir Patrick Vallance and that graph of doom Zoom. He said that cases were doubling every 7 days. And if we carried on that basis, by this day, well, by the 13th of October, the day we've now got figures for, we could see 49,000 infections. And a month after that, we would see a day, we would see 200 deaths a day. Well, yesterday, the figures were 17,234. We are nowhere near this worst case scenario prediction. Why is the government behaving like we are?
Well, I think it just shows that the measures that we're bringing in different parts of the country, if people stick to them, that we're starting to see a control of the virus again.
But so that means we definitely don't need a second lockdown then?
We cannot be complacent, though, I have to say, Julia. Infections are still on the rise in most parts of the country, although, say, in the southwest or in east of England, it's a lot lower rise than we've seen the real escalation in places like Liverpool City Region. And that is why it is Liverpool in particular where we're having the tier three intervention. But if the local mayor thinks he needs even more interventions, then that is absolutely open for him to discuss that with government so he can get the powers to enforce what it is that we can do together in order to try and make sure we tackle the suppression of the spread of this virus.
And what do you make of those scenes in Liverpool of people partying away, shouting, this is our last night for partying and there's a coronavirus party. What do you make of those scenes?
Well, I grew up in Liverpool and it's a great city and I'm very saddened by the selfish behaviour of a few thousand people. I'm conscious that doesn't represent the whole of Liverpool, but nevertheless, I would like to make sure, and I'm sure that the mayor will be wanting that this sort of activity simply has to stop. The enforcements have to happen. And frankly, those people have been completely selfish and putting the most vulnerable at risk.
OK, must ask you also about the million pensioners that you're hoping will benefit from a winter bill discount, a winter windfall of £140 off fuel bills for pensioners. This is coming in, obviously, at a really crucial time when people are basically going to be trapped into their homes. Is that going to cover the cost of their extra fuel costs?
Well, the Warm Home Discount Scheme is available particularly to pensioners who get pension credit, but also to some other people who have certain kinds of benefits. I think what's really good, Julia, is that I'm pleased my department's worked with the energy companies so that instead of these pensioners having to pick up the phone, try and find this discount, apply for it, it's happened automatically. There are about another 220,000 pensioners who could get the discount as well, and I want to encourage them to phone 0800 731 0214 so they can actually also get that £140 off their energy bill this winter as well.
Online, on DAB and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio. Across the UK, online, on DAB and on your smart speaker. Talk Radio.
But let's talk to Labour MP Graham Stringer, who's MP for Blakely and Broughton in Manchester region, who joins us right now and who's very much, Graham, among those opposed to having a circuit breaker lockdown. Graham, thanks for coming on the show. Why do you think this is a bad idea?
Well, it hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to solve the problem. It will certainly reduce the number of people who are falling ill for a short period of time, and then it will rise again. We need to learn how to live with this disease and to protect as many people as possible, and that requires local test and trace and protecting the most vulnerable people. This just kicks the can down the road. It is also just a focus on the number of people who will die who are infected with COVID. What it doesn't count, which has been the case right from the beginning of this, it doesn't count the number of people who will die from cancer and other diseases who aren't treated while the lockdown is on.
And we know there are 25,000 excess deaths at home this year, non-COVID excess deaths, and the prediction is more than 70,000 over 5 years as a direct result of the lockdown we've already had because of people not getting referrals for cancer treatment and the like, and heart disease and the like. Why do you think so many people who are desperate to stop every single death from COVID, as we all are, who doesn't want to do that, why do you think they don't seem to care so much about all the fallout of that and the extra deaths from other things? Why are people so focused on COVID deaths and not deaths from anything else?
Just before I answer that, the figures I've seen, which are government figures, are considerably higher than the figures you've just put out in terms of people dying either from poverty, depression, or other diseases. Yeah. People have become blinkered, I think, just focused on COVID. There is also political fear in the government that if this gets completely out of control, they will be blamed. So they're bouncing about, making arbitrary decisions. The front pages of the newspapers, your show, television, are all focused on COVID. It's very easy for government ministers to focus on that. But the wiser, more honest thing to do is say, people are going to die in three ways from this. Let's look at all three areas and try to get those death figures down as much as we possibly can. We're not doing that. Lockdowns actually increase the number of people who will die from other diseases.
When people criticise the idea of second lockdown, circuit break, again, that's what a circuit breaker is, and it ain't going to be for 2 or 3 weeks. We were told 3 weeks first up, and I don't think many of us thought that was going to just be that length of time. We're told that if you criticise that, then you're basically, you know, killing a granny. You're basically saying you don't care about the elderly and the vulnerable who die. Now, obviously, you and I do care about those people. What do you think should be done differently then? What would be your alternative?
I think it's extraordinary for the government to talk about killing a granny when the decisions they took right at the start of the last lockdown killed between 16 and 20,000 people. That's just true. I'm going to repeat myself. I think that we have to live with this disease, and we have to have local environmental health teams who are effective. Where they're working and where they're resourced, they're finding 98% of infected people and their contacts. That's the only way of bringing this disease under some sort of control. Actually, what we're seeing now, and it often isn't said this way, is the failure of the centralised government system, the failure of the last lockdown, and the failure of the central tracking and tracing system.
The trouble is, of course, for the government, is that, as you say, they end up getting blamed no matter what happens. They will ultimately be blamed for every COVID death, every non-COVID death, every job lost, every home lost, every business that collapsed. It is, as is the case for any opposition, it's almost a free pass. They can call for more measures or fewer measures, whatever it is. They're not going to have to live with the consequences politically.
Well, to be fair to Keir Starmer, he's not done that. He has gone along with the government for too long. I think it was right to go along with the government at the start of this, when there was less known. And I think Keir has stayed with the government for much too long. But you mentioned money and job losses. The amount of money that is being spent is extraordinary. My party isn't in government, but hopefully we will be sometime in the future. And there will be no money left at all. We've spent in 6 months an extra 1.5 times as much as we normally spend on the health service. I mean, one fights for an extra billion here or a billion there normally for the health service, but we've just more than doubled the amount of spending in that area, and that's going to have to be paid for sometime. At the moment, it's not hurting because interest rates are so low. But if they go up by fourfold, then we're in real trouble.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Well, it's very easy for everyone to say, oh, more lockdown, more lockdown, oh, no lockdown, without actually living with any repercussions. But actually, we do know, do we not, that actually an awful lot of people do deal with all the repercussions. Well, one MP who's decided he's had enough is Bolton Western Atherton MP, Conservative Chris Green. Yesterday, he resigned as a ministerial aide in protest at Boris Johnson's lockdown policies, saying the lockdown in Bolton had clearly not worked. He wrote in a letter to the Prime Minister, I believe that the cure is worse than the disease. I am delighted to welcome Chris Green to the show right now. Good morning to you.
Morning, Julia.
I have to say, I'm very impressed because this isn't the first time you've resigned in principle. You also resigned over Theresa May's Chequers deal as well, because you said that, you know, it wasn't a proper Brexit that had been promised. So all credit to you. I don't think this sort of principles will make for a very long and successful political career, Chris Green, but I'm very impressed, and I'm sure my listeners are as well. Why did you feel you had to resign from, I suppose, the lowest rung of a government job, this, but why did you feel that you couldn't stay on as part of the government?
Well, Bolton's had the most extreme form of Brexit in England, and I can see the impact it's having. I can also see not just the impact on businesses and that part of society, it's the impact on people's physical and mental health. And in Bolton, there were 20,000 during, comparing this year to last year during the COVID period, 20,000 fewer GP referrals to hospitals. This is serious medical treatment that isn't happening. And I just think it's that point of the cure being worse than disease, that the governments are on a track, the government are determined to do what they're doing, but it's not successful. We can see it hasn't been successful. They need to change. And even though I was in a very junior position, if they're not listening to conversations I'm having behind the scenes, then I've got to have those conversations more publicly.
This is the concern, isn't it? There is an element where people are not listening to this. We've seen the polls. We just discussed them with Ian Duncan-Smith, your fellow Tory backbencher now. The polls seem to suggest that the government's the policies, all more and more stricter restrictions, are very much supported by the public. Is that what your mailbag as an MP suggests, though?
No, completely. That's completely out of touch with my mailbag. And it's one of those things, it's that yes minister thing about conscription. Do you want loads of trained killers on the streets, or do you want a load of focused, disciplined young men and women? Well, you can fix opinion polls in that way to get the answer you want. My mailbag is completely different. The overwhelming support from my constituents, I'm startled that so few are actually opposing the stance I'm taking on this. And it's really not what I expected to begin with. I thought it was going to be far more mixed, far more people saying, you've got to protect us, you're doing the wrong thing. And I also think that Bolton has gone through a particularly bad time. And as the Tier 2, Tier 3, Chris Whitty's Tier 4 plus lockdown is rolled out around the country and you have a circuit breaker, I don't know, the first circuit breaker for 3 months didn't work. That was through really good weather, really pleasant. And so people, to some extent, could enjoy the lockdown. We do it a second time, we do it a third time, perhaps even a fourth time. I don't think people are going to keep with the programme and are going to respect the lockdown. And the opinion polls, I think, will start reflecting that pretty sharply.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.